Welcome to the World Service Conference 2019 Fellowship Day. My name is Sammy, and I'm a debtor.
Hi, Sammy.
Would you please join me in the opening with the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. This workshop's topic is steps 4 through 9. And I would like to introduce our first speaker, Tony.
Hi, I'm Tony. Yes, I'm Tony. I'm a debtor. I'm so grateful to be here.
Hi, Tony.
Hi, beautiful people. Hi to those who have the willingness to be live streaming this, and then hi to those who are going to be listening to this later, and hi to those of you who traveled in whatever way you did to come here. Thank you for your willingness. Thank you for showing up, because it helps my recovery. I'm so thankful to get out of my head right now. I just don't even know what to tell you. On 4 through 9, I brought the new DA 12 and 12, which I highlighted some things in because I just wanted to share directly. So I know that we're talking about 4 through 9, and you know, the steps are in order for very good reason. If I didn't have the firm faith underneath me that a power, a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity, how that power greater than myself looked like and felt like in my life, I don't think that I would have had the faith to go through the rest, you know, because the level of honesty that is being asked of me in step 4 and step is a level of honesty that I hadn't given myself. You know, I wasn't willing to, and I was scared to look at the ways in which the debting, the self-abandonment and the trauma that led to that, the repeated behaviors that were being fed, you know, and also to look back at what had gone on in my childhood, in my adolescence, the messages that I was receiving from society that all led to this. You know, I spent many years of my life trying so hard to pretend that I was okay and to present to the world that I was okay, that it caused physical consequences for me, and I mean that in terms of health. And I've had chronic migraines. I've been doubled over in pain. Like, there have been, that has gone on for me. In addition to, you know, when I look at in the fourth step, like, what have I gotten out of the debting? I sure as hell did not want to look at that question. I did not want to ask that question for myself. You know, for me, it wasn't so much of like being the victim. It was that I didn't want to look at what I was in partnership with the fear to hold myself back from. So to get really clear, like, being in the debting and the what I get from that is I'm checked out from life. I'm not as present for my friends and family. I don't show up for them. You know, whether it's like I don't have the money to buy the plane ticket, or I'm not present for my dreams. I'm not there. So I have whole swaths of years of my life that are very vague to me because there was so much noise going on. There was so much fear. So what I get out of that, the faith that one through three gave me to do that rigorous honesty and to take that inventory, and then in turning that over to another person, oh my God, to say these things to somebody else and to know that they don't have the opinion or the judgment of me that I have of myself, that there's nothing I can say to them that either they haven't heard in a meeting, they haven't done themselves, you know, that they can't relate to. And then the other thing that I get out of that is the compassion that I then have for others. You know, when I really look at that for myself, then I have such compassion for other people because I get it. I really, really get it. So one of the things that I wanted to read. Okay. This is from the new DA 12 and 12. Step four was not an exercise in harsh self-judgment, but a process of honest self-appraisal. We could not hide from the truth and remain open to the process of to the spiritual process of recovery. We could pray for the willingness to see others as fellow human beings with their own imperfections and challenges, and then turn our attention back to our own recovery. We were taking responsibility in a new and perhaps unfamiliar way, acknowledging that we had created our own troubles. Focusing on minor details and attempting to do the perfect inventory were pitfalls. We could get stuck in them. So I say that because sometimes people get stalled on the fourth step. And it did happen for me too. I think I spent a year in my fourth. And I have such compassion for that for myself. And now that I've gone through the fourth in another program, I now see the gift of getting through that thing with like motivation, you know. I kind of like bringing it down to like my own, one of my own experiences. Over the past year, I've had three pest treatments in my apartment that have involved me taking like everything out of cabinets, everything out of drawers, like all the clothes need to come out of my closet and everything, like so that what I would call like unwanted roommates can get evicted, you know. Three times, it's like the whole thing gets turned upside down, and then I, you know, that for me is a living example of what I'm doing in the, like, I'm three times, I've been regularly doing a whole inventory on my apartment and my clothes and like what's in my kitchen utensils and blah, 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 blah. And then what I get from that is like, okay, I see the mess, I see the disarray, and then I'm like, what do I want to discard? What is serving me? What is not serving me? How can I move on? What I loved in that reading about it's not an exercise in self-judgment is I definitely would not have known that before I got into it. So then when you go into the sixth step, one of the things that it says in here is step six is an invitation to review our journey thus far and to be clear and deliberate as we continue it. We might have gone to great lengths to avoid looking at the reality of our lives, hoping that the mess we had caused and the shame behind it would just go away. In the sixth step, we neither rushly blind forward nor retreated into denial. Having admitted our shortcomings in step five, we became ready to release them. Yeah. One of the things that I, in like step six and seven that I, get out of that is, like a shift in language about, defect versus defense. If you know what I mean, there's a lot of, ways that you can look at, okay, this is a character defect, this is something that it's a default setting that I've had in the past. For me, I look at it as a defense mechanism that has been there from a very long time, and it just doesn't work for me anymore. You know, the it's the same defense mechanism that I have of like pulling my hand away from a hot stove. And so it's just run rampant, and it's gotten kicked up like 10 notches to the point where it takes me out of things that are that are good for me and that I didn't even know would be good for me, such as making an outreach call, such as taking earning actions, such as being willing to be seen to be of service, such as asking for a raise, asking for what I need, speaking up. These are things that there's a very strong part of me that wants to, it is trying to protect me, and I thank it for its service, and I really want it to, thank you. I'm turning it over to my HP to like calm down on a timeline that's not up to me. Thank you. Because that part of me, it's wanting to keep me safe. So it's, in its, I don't know, perspective, whatever is unknown, such as that rigorous honesty or the turning over or the what is being asked of me in these steps, it's very scared of, because that's just outside of its comfort zone. You know, I have been working DA for, I have to think about this, I'm going on, I'm almost at 6 years. I think September's going to be 6 years for me. Yeah. So there's a lot more time of my life that has been spent not doing this than time that has been spent in the doing of this. And also in terms of the compassion I can have for myself, since I'm coming up on 6 years, I do a lot of babysitting, and one of the huge gifts I get out of that is that when I'm with kids of different ages, I get to see like, oh, that's me. So when I babysit a six-year-old, they are very proud that they can tie their own shoes, you know, they can brush their teeth in the morning, and, you know, they know their process for like getting to bed and whatever. That's, you know, or maybe they like, they know their favorite cartoons and they can like break them down for you, but they are not doing calculus. They're not driving. They're not cooking a beef Wellington. Like they're not there yet. Right. So I get to look at that in terms of the expectations that I have of myself, because there are so many times that I will look at my own recovery. And when I say many times, I mean, as of like 12 hours ago or like 5 minutes ago, when I will look at my own recovery and I'll have that perspective of like, why aren't you da 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 by now? And that's, and like, I'm not even six, you know? And also my journey and my pace is my own. I recognize that somebody had said to me that I am on my path, I am right on time, and there are magnificent gems on that path that are there for me and me alone, not for anybody else. So when I look at that, and when I compare to other people's journeys and other people's timelines, I have to remember that they have other things in their own story and that are going on for them that I also wouldn't trade. And if I'd had certain things that are on their path before that time was right for me, I honestly don't know if I'd still be alive today. I really don't. So the faith that I get out of working these steps, being seen, coming to meetings, 90 and 90, 3 minute shares over the course of years, and outreach calls, and so much writing of letters to HPs, firing the HP, getting a new one. Does that HP work for me? Fire that one, get a new one, like over and over. Like, again, it's the same like pest treatments that I've been doing, you know, on myself, of like what's serving me and what's not. Is that I truly believe I'm getting a very, very firm foundation. You know, in an outreach call that I made yesterday, I got to hear how, you know, I'm not in this for the material gain. I'm in this for the freedom. And that I get continually reminded of that. Like, if I was in this just for the material gain, there are many other things that I could be doing. And I'll be honest, working this stuff is about the amount of time that I put into a part-time job. So I could put that somewhere else. I don't want to, you know? this recovery is for those who really want it. And I want it. I want that freedom. I want that spiritual expansion. I want to be the person that my higher power sees me as. I want to grow into that woman. I feel that there are so many times when I'm taking actions that I can feel a future me getting very proud of myself. It's like I can feel future me looking at me through the mirror and like just beaming with pride at how far I've come, and she's holding out her hand and asking me to keep coming forward. In the little bit of time that I have left, I want to read the step 7 prayer. I feel like I'm just doing a whole pitch for this book and literature. So for those selling it at the table, you're welcome. Okay, the prayer is, higher power, I stand ready to carry your message to others. Remove from me the shortcomings and fears holding me back. Help me be who you would have me be. May I choose to remain on your path always. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Me. Okay. Cool. Thank you. Matt, dead or under enter. Hi. Steps 4 through 9. Yeah. So, oh, 5s is good. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Like steps 1 through 3 are just shit. I have a problem. Maybe there's another way. All right, I'll give this a try. And then step 4 is, did you ever rape anybody? Did you ever kill anybody? Were you ever raped? Are you afraid of the dark? How much did you masturbate? It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I just want to get my finances in order, you know? And then it's like 40 questions later. So again, did you ever rape anybody? When did you steal? How much did you steal? How did you feel when you stole? It's like, I already fucking answered that question. And so what it told me is that, you know, my under-earning, my debting, my ism, you know, because this is all taken from the alcoholic program, is that it's not related to money. It's all this stuff from when I was a kid. And now being a dad gives me an opportunity to see my mom in action, who my parents are still together. They're great. They're awesome. They're great grandparents. But I see my mom say something like, oh, there's the thing. It's invalidating what she just said. Yet I know she loves my son like to bits. So it's not personal. It's on. Oh, you got a gate on there. You got to open that up a little bit. So it's not personal. You know, she loves him so much, but yet that's how she interacts. That's how she talks. Can you guys hear me okay? No. Yeah. Can you turn me back up?
They're just complaining next door that it's a little too loud.
Oh, really? Okay.
Anyway, we're trying to find a bell.
Yeah, sure. 2-2-2, check, 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 2. Hello, 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 hello. Check, check, check. 2-2. Cool. You guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. So being a parent, I get to see that and see my mom and my dad and how they act and then how I interpret it. So some stuff was meant to be a message, like stop doing your own shit, stop growing your hair out and freaking us out, just get a fucking job, go to college and do what we did. So that was a message. Now, 49 years later, no one's more happy and proud of me than my mom, right? So, but that's all she could handle at the time. But there's other things that got said that were not invalidating. It's just my mom having her experience, but then I interpreted them as a certain thing as a kid, my little kid brain, and I'm the center of the universe, which is, you know, it's all I understand. And then it must be me. I must have done something. It's not like it's your mom. You know, she's still a kid too, you know. So I feel like what happened is, you know, they're pouring this foundation, this concrete foundation in New York City, and then someone walks by and throws a bolt like this long at it and then just keeps walking and it gets poured in there. And then pretty soon you've got a 100-story skyscraper and there's like a crack in the foundation and they're going, what's going on? And you got to go down through all those 100 floors and go, oh, this is bolt. Somebody threw a bolt in here in 1946. Okay. You know, so that's what those questions are from the fourth step. And it's a searching and fearless moral inventory. You don't have to like it. I don't have to want to do it or even think that it's going to work, you know, but coming into this program at 41-ish, I was out of ideas. So I was like, all right, well, what are these people doing? I'll try this thing that they're talking about. And so then step five is sharing it with God and another person. Not just God and not just the other person, but both, you know. And I that part was not challenging for me personally. I never had a problem sharing my secrets or whatever. It just, thankfully. So that wasn't really that big of a deal. And in fact, I got to talk about me. So I like that, you know, even though I was like, yeah, I did this, I did that. I was surprised how much I stole. I was surprised how long my stealing record went, and it when it ended with stealing razors at Rite Aid, or maybe like, did I? Yeah, I did. In Los Angeles, thanks. You know, 2004 or something, and I was like, this is just stupid. I'm like, dude, if you get caught, like, this is so embarrassing. But they keep them locked up. You know, they're like, they used to have one blade. Now there's five and they're expensive, you know? And it's like, it's not that expensive. And just pay for it, you know? But I was surprised at how long the stealing went on for. As a kid, we used to just steal shit. Like, why not? You know, candy and, you know, cassettes, all this stuff. And, but it kept on going. And it's like, I grew up middle class. Like, we weren't, you know, my parents weren't poor. We're like right in the middle. There was never an issue. I mean, they might have said, we don't have money for that, like as a tactic of just to get me stop asking. But it wasn't true. You know, like, there was no financial insecurity that I experienced or shortage of anything. So I don't know where that came from. You know what I mean? Step six, you know, being entirely ready to have God remove, like, not ask him to remove and not that God is going to remove them. It just, am I ready? Get ready. Am I ready? And that was a tricky one because it's like, do you want to have God remove this? Yeah, of course. Well, hold on. Maybe you don't, you know, why have you held on to it for 46 years? And so some things I didn't even know I was doing or holding on to, and other things I was like, oh yeah, because then I get to be that guy. And so for me growing up, you know, I saw a picture of Kiss when I was 7 years old, and I just was like, that's it right there. Like the guy with the blood spewing out and his, and the metal on his, and his arm in the air, and there's fire behind. Like, I'm into, that's what I want to do. And that's, I still feel the same way. Like, that never changed. That's what I do for work. That's how I make a living. But so I saw that, and then I tied up in the rock and roll thing, just F you and the rebellion, and I'm not going to do what you want me to do. And so then that became being late, stealing stuff, not paying for things, not paying on time, not being part of the group, kind of being the agitator, not, you know, and until that had a negative impact on my career. Could you tell him to stop laughing so loud? Until that had a negative impact on my career, I wasn't even aware that that's who I was playing, that role that I was playing. Like, if we're in a room full of people, like, even that comment, just to be a wise ass, you know what I mean? Like, to just push that knee. You don't want that guy on your team, you know? And sure as hell, you're not going to let that guy be a leader, right? So thankfully, my ambition helped me to realize, oh, I got a problem, right? And so I am in this for both the physical manifestation and the internal manifestation, right? So it's like there's another program they say came for the vanity, stayed for the sanity. And it's kind of like that with the financial thing. It's like, I just want to be able to pay my bills on time. And then you realize, oh, wow, I can actually get some peace. But I also want to make a lot of money. So I can, that's good too. That's great. You know, and they're not, you know, I don't have to choose between one or the other. You know what I mean? I can come for both. So the ambition and not having what I wanted in terms of a career is a big part of what brought me here. And I thankfully I couldn't fall in line and just go get a job and just, I can't do that. That's not my role. You know, now in my work, I am an employee, but I'm an employee to people whose faces I used to draw when I was 10 years old. So, I am an employee though. So that's where the humility and the being of service comes in, because I was not employable prior to coming into this program. Right. So it has created an opportunity. Thank you. For me to live my dreams. So it's like, yeah, okay, what's the question again? You know, yeah, no, I didn't rape anybody. Yes, I am afraid of the dark. You know, and start answering all these questions. Because it's like, and I can get over there? Okay, let's do it. So 7 is ask God to remove. And if I'm, these are off the top of my head, so if I'm wrong, just correct me. But 7 is ask God to remove. So like 6 is ready. There's a whole step on just get ready, you know, get ready. So it's like, if I'm like this, ready to have God remove coffee, and I'm like, okay, let's do step 7. It's like, I'm not ready. I got to be like this. You know, that's how I have to be. I'm not ready. So I'm going to take it back. So like then 7 is ask God to remove, you know. And I think humbly is actually in there too, right? Which I didn't understand the meaning of that word. When I came in here, I thought humility was a homeless person, like the way they look at you with those eyes. Like I thought that was humility. That's not humility. That's anywhere from hopelessness to an act, but it's not humility. I've met some homeless people that are super arrogant. So, and, you know, and so that's not humility. But I thought it was just like a beaten down dog with your head hung low. And it's like, no, that's like heartbroken. That's not humility. So I can walk in a room and be like, hi, and look people in the eye and have humility, you know? And also the concept of being of service. I thought that was like the police or the guy at McDonald's who gets you your fries. They're of service. They serve. I'm not in the military. How am I of service? Well, I'm being of service right now, hopefully, you know, being of service, showing up on time, being polite, understanding that maybe some of the people that I was chatting with are a little stressed out. And so they're not at their best, and I'm just still going to be nice to them and not give them attitude and just do whatever they tell me to do. And then get in here and sit down and go, what are we doing? Cool. Sounds good. Okay. I have no opinion, and talk when I get to talk. And then that's it. Right. So that's how I can be of service. And then it turns out now you get to be the rock star. Now you get to support your wife and 2 kids doing what you love to do. Now you get to do it. Yeah, it's this way though. It's not my way. I mean, some people did things their way and it worked. My way didn't work, right? My way didn't work. You know, and I work with people who their way worked. They are either they're just willing it, or they are in alignment with God and they're not debtors or whatever. It doesn't matter. Their way works. My way did not work. And so then part of my work, part of my career has become explaining in a non 12-step format to other people in my field and in other fields how to get from where they are to where they want to be, because I can tell you exactly what I did, because I did it wrong for, you know, 40 years or whatever. And so now I figured out, and through God's help, and I'm still figuring out. So I'm able to articulate it. So now I get to be of service again. Oh, and get paid to do that. And. So the more I do this, the more I realize I know nothing, and that's great. Because the hardest words for me to say were, I don't know. If someone asked me a question, like, I wasn't a liar, but I would just talk and just BS because I just didn't want to go, geez, I don't know. You should ask somebody, you know? Or if I didn't know, God forbid, you know, I wouldn't ask because I wanted to look like I knew. And so I have like a daily assessment. And at the end of the day, it's like, did you lie today? And my one, my thing, I'm getting so good at it. But if someone goes, yeah, you know, so I'm working with this artist, Joe Smith, you know, Joe Smith thing. And I would go, yeah, but I don't know Joe Smith, but I don't want to have them tell me about Joe Smith for 5 minutes. And I have these conversations a lot because of what I do for work. So, but I also didn't want them to feel bad that I don't know who you're talking about, that you're so excited that you're working. Anyway, it's all on me, but I'm still lying. And it's like, that's a little bolt. That's not a big one. That's like a little screw, but it's still like, you're a liar. Kill yourself. You know, that's where it's going to go. That's where it's going to go. Cause that's where the disease wants me to either slow or just no fast. Why don't you just jump off a building? That would be great for everybody, you know? So, it's a daily, daily thing. And so step 8, ready to make amends. Thanks. And then step 9 is to make those amends. And I'll wrap up by saying I've had a few amends that I've made. One to my parents, one to a pizza shop. I threw a rock through their sign. And they said, what? What is this? And the guy at the pizza shop was like, when did this happen? I go, 2000. He goes, why are you calling me now? He was aggravated. He was like, I didn't, it was my dad's shop back then. He goes, you know what? I'll call you back. Give me your number and I'll have him call. I may or may not hear from them, but that was way different than what I thought was going to be talking to an Italian man who owns a pizzeria and how he was going to react to some punk throwing a rock through a sign. So thankfully I know nothing, and thanks for the opportunity to be of service.
In closing, we would like to remind you that in Debtors Anonymous, we practice Tradition 12, which is the principle of anonymity. This assures us the freedom to express ourselves at meetings and in private conversations without fear that our comments will be repeated. We keep what is shared at meetings confidential. As we work the steps and practice DA's traditions and concepts, we are reminded that recovery is possible and that we are all here for a common purpose, to recover from compulsive debting one day at a time.